Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities. Hello, everybody. This is Shannon, and welcome back to Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere. And today I have the most greatest honor to be joined by Dr. Dane here.
Hi. I'm here.
So if you guys...
And the honor is mutual,
if any of you guys... know Dane, you know how special it is to get to have this conversation with him. And if you don't know Dane, you are in for a mega, mega treat. So today, since Dane is truly a master of energy, I thought it would be so interesting to have a conversation about a lot of what you've taught me and shown me about how to deal with the energetics behind the circumstances of our lives to shift, to change, to access transformation.
Cool. Well, I think the beginning, the place to start with that is to realize that we're actually energetic beings, and nobody ever tells us this. You know, people say, think about this and think about what you did wrong. Think about what you did right. And we're always trying to be right and not wrong. But nobody ever tells us we're energetic beings. In other words, we're aware of the energy of every situation, acutely aware. We're aware of the energy of every room we walk into. We're aware of the energy of all the people that we're close to. We're actually aware of all the people we're not close to, but that's a story for another time. Maybe too much of a stretch for some people. So we're energetic beings, and really what it boils down to is if you can recognize that, then what energetic awareness are you having of this person, of this situation? And if you allow yourself to recognize that, then what can you be that will have it work out in the way you would like it to? In other words, how can you have it work out with more ease for you? Because, you know, and science starts to speak about this. If you talk about quantum physics and quantum mechanics and all that fun sort of stuff where they talk about really, really small things. But basically the idea is you just by your thought, by your request, can change the energy of a situation. You can literally change the energy of a molecule.
Okay, so when we're talking about energy, what do you mean?
Everything.
And this is, I mean, and that's, and we have to be as broad as that and as microscopic as that. As you just stated, science talks about the little tiny particles and molecules that they define as energy.
Yeah.
And that the universe, everything in the known world and maybe even in the unknown world is energy.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, our body shows us what energy is going on. You know, like if you're standing there in front of somebody and you won't say what you know you need to say, that you know needs to be said, well, oftentimes your throat will close up and then later you'll get a sore throat. You know, well, what is that? Well, it was the energy. It was the energy you were not speaking that needed to be addressed. And I'm not one of those metaphysical people who's like, oh, your left elbow means this and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not one of those people, okay? But I have noticed certain correlations with certain things.
Right.
And so what I've noticed, and for me, when I look at what somebody else is saying about, you know, this is this, you know, in the body, this means you're not saying this or this means you're not doing this. I always look and go, well, does it make me lighter? I mean, one of the simplest tools we have in access and also one of the most potent, which is interesting, is what's true makes you lighter, a lie makes you heavier. And so I always look and go, well, does that make me lighter? Well, then, okay, it's probably true. And probably true for me, because what's true for you, based on the energy of it, what's true for you may be true for you and may not be true for somebody else. But then we have to get into something else, which maybe we'll talk about in a minute. But what I wanted to say about the energy thing is, like, if you've ever had one of those days where you wake up and you're on just on top of the world, you're so ready to get out of bed, you're so ready to create, you just can't wait to get your day started. Well, that's one energy. Just perceive that for a moment. What would it be like to have a lot more days like that? You know, but have that for a whole day, not just when we wake up in the morning and then get dwindled down to nothing by the time we fall in bed exhausted at night.
So can we talk about that? Because one of the ways in which I've become more articulate in energetics is by using the tools of access, questioning, and discovering how sometimes the stuff that I feel, quote unquote, or whether that's in my body I'm feeling it or psychologically I'm feeling it, it boils down to some stuff that's cognitive, some stuff that I can find that makes sense, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's these energies that have no words, that don't have a definition, that are very present in the world.
Yes. And that's exactly it. And here's the thing, though, is even the things that we've decided are cognitive are still energetic.
Mm.
Even the things we feel in our body are still energetic. And then all those other things that we don't have a definition for yet, or a reference point for, or a word for, those are what we refer to as energy, which is why when people say, what is energy? What's your definition? I go, everything. Because people act like if it's a thought, if it's a feeling, if it's an emotion, if it's a pain, then it's not energy. Well, yeah, it is. But if you can look at it this way, okay, so let's really simplify things and let's just put it this way, okay? The energetic world impacts the physical world.
Cool.
So in other words, before you have something physical going on in your body, long before that, you had something energetic going
on.
Wow,
cool.
And if we could just recognize that, you know,
okay.
that becomes a game changer.
That's the big part of what I really wanted to talk about today, because you've shown me this energetic capability, vocabulary, access that, I'm going to be totally honest, I had no idea existed before you started doing your work and I started going to a lot of your classes. And through your facilitation specifically, and you're a real master of energetics. And I almost hate saying energetics because it sounds so vague or airy-fairy or not direct or clear enough, but sorry to say, it actually is just energetics.
Yeah.
Through going to a lot of your classes.
And thank you, by the way.
And thank you. This energetic world that exists that I didn't believe in, I didn't realize existed, and I really didn't have very good access to. I started to gain access to. And through accessing that energy, by not thinking, not going into the head,
mm-hmm.
And by following the energy, it was this magical key that all of a sudden the whole universe becomes this possibility.
Yeah.
The playground that's for us to choose to create or to ignore.
Yeah, truly. So this thing that you're talking about, it's like, I didn't realize that I was different than other people until I met you, actually. And you ran my bars and I was like, whoa. And I still remember our first bar session. Actually it was our second bar session. Because, you know, once we knew each other and then I knew I had the freedom to talk to you about what I was aware
okay.
of. And I've never had awareness that I was aware before that. Like, I had no idea that I was aware.
Can we just go back and say that again? Awareness that you were aware.
Yeah. I truly did not have the self-awareness that I was aware.
Yeah.
And I would talk to you about these things because we would run processes also. And I would talk to you about these things. And I remember there was this one time where we were clearing something and you ran the clearing statement. And I could perceive it all go away. And I went, but there's still something there. Because for me, I'm always like, if there's still something there, I'm going to get that mother, man. It doesn't matter how tiny it is. I'm like, until I am free and clear, I am not stopping. No matter what, whether it's a process or whether it's life or anything else or wherever there's anything else possible. And so I remember talking to you about these. It looked like little glass balls within glass balls. And they were all connected like in this lattice. And I did my best at the time to describe it to you. And I said, so here's what I'm noticing is still there. And you went, oh, those are the boys. Those are nucleated spheres. And I went, okay, can we clear those? And you ran the nucleated sphere clearing and they all went away.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. And so I love that, you know, here we are 18 years later, the snake is biting its tail in a certain sense. I'm sure there are many more snakes, many more tails, many more stories.
Many,
you know,
more legends soon many, to come.
Exactly. But it's so interesting because I didn't have the awareness that I was aware. And I remember you telling me after that session, you were like, whoa. I was like, what do you mean? I thought I did something bad, you know? And you're like, I just have to say what you're aware of is just amazing, especially this just being your second session of access. And I was like, really? Me? The idiot that wanted to kill himself 2 weeks ago? You know what I mean? And part of the reason I got to the place 18 years ago where I literally was going to end my life, where I planned the date for ending my life, was because none of these things that were available had I ever acknowledged, and nobody ever acknowledged them in me and that they existed.
It's like, what if there is all of this possibility available?
Mm-hmm.
We can call it energy. We can access energy via choice, through the tools of access, through blind, stupid luck, you know,
Or all of the above.
Or all of the above sometimes.
I'll take as much blind, stupid luck as I can get.
I don't know what happened. I just accidentally got happy.
Exactly.
You know, what everyone's like, what would that take? It's what's available that so few people actually recognize, realize,
yeah.
choose.
Yeah, and when you said that you hadn't necessarily believed it or known it or sort of had the access to it until you started doing the classes with me and getting facilitation, I was like, wow. And I know that you've known. I know that you've known. But it's a whole different thing to know it somewhere in this sort of far-off remote universe that might be possible someday in a billion years. And there's a whole different world between that and actually living and breathing it and actually being able to use it to create, use it to change things, use it to create your life.
And let's face it, being an energetic person, and I feel like it's so interesting us having this conversation because when you talk about like following the energy, like perceiving the energy, accessing energy, it is still such an airy-fairy conversation, but you and I are the least airy-fairy people somebody could ever meet. And we're creating with the energetics of the universe in an extremely practical way.
Yeah.
That's for facilitating greater consciousness embodied.
And that right there, embodied. And what I got to say is, I think energy's gotten a really bad rap. Really do.
Well, it's like, I was even, and when we started this conversation, I thought, well, you have to be like a genius or a rocket scientist to even understand some of the things that you were saying about energy. It's like it's either just like cool dude, far out man,
right?
Or you're a scientist who actually understands what energy is
right.
in the universe and as the universe.
But if you look at it though, it's like successful business people follow the energy.
Hmm.
What do? They go, well, will this, and, you know, depending on what their bent is. For a lot of them, of course, it's creating money. Some of them, it's creating greater possibilities.
Yeah.
But also realize how that particular bent of energy, those points of view that you take, create the energies that you can perceive that are out there, because our point of view creates our reality. Reality doesn't create our point of view. So sorry, I gotta
finish this.
Because so if a business person, for example, is like, okay, well, I'm all about creating more money and I'm going to create the biggest business on the planet, whatever, and they're actually willing to have it. Well, then they'll perceive the energy of what will create that. Now, it may look like a takeover deal. It may look like buying a property or buying a business or something, but really it's got an energy to it that they can go yes or no to.
Well, that's what's so interesting too, because it's like, you could almost ask like, were they even aware that they perceived the energy?
And the answer is no, usually.
And so when you become more energy educated, energy educated gives us the resource to recognize that the universe is energy speaking to us in energy. All perception and endeavor always begins with energy. As you said, if anything shows up in your body, it was energetically there long before it showed up in your body.
Yeah.
And so when you started talking about the businessman or the business person who sets forth to create a big business, it was interesting because as you were talking about the businessman, I was thinking about the surfer who has to follow the energy of the ocean. Otherwise, there's no surfing. There's no riding.
Uh-huh.
So we can easily see how we must follow the energy when we're working with the earth. If you don't work with the earth, I think we know how that goes.
Yes.
It kills you or we kill it, you know?
Well, that also.
You know, it goes both ways. And so if you take the analogy of the surfer and you take the analogy of the businessman, both are following the energy. We know where the energy of, well, actually, that's funny. I was just going to say we know where the energy of the wave comes from.
Uh-huh.
We don't actually know where the energy of the wave comes from.
We have a scientific explanation for it.
So there's this thing called the wind. Where does it come from?
Exactly. And this thing called tides and this thing called a moon and this thing called love. Yeah.
So there's this, that power.
But so much of science, go ahead.
No, you,
back
please.
To where,
no, I, yeah.
No, what you were saying, you know where the energy of the wave comes from, but actually, if we would allow ourselves to truly know where the energy of the wave came from, we would know the energetics of everything else.
And my brother.
Testify, baby, testify.
I gotta say, do you know where the energy of the wave comes from?
I have a dynamic sense.
Yes.
Let's put
and
it
I,
that
and
way.
I, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that,
oh, no.
to, you know, cause it's sort of
you
like,
on the spot. I don't
you know,
care. I'm more than willing to be wrong. I'm more than willing to look like an idiot. I'm more than willing to say, no, I don't have the answer.
Well, it's so interesting having these conversations because I get to have like all of my favorite people and some of the most dynamic facilitators of change, consciousness, healing, possibility on the planet. And I'm like, how did I get so lucky? I've almost realized how lucky, fortunate, and like, what a resource and treasure I have, in that I know so many people that are really truly choosing something so spectacular.
Something beyond this reality.
Something beyond this reality.
How I would put it. And have you acknowledged what a gift and contribution you are in that? That if all these people are around you, there must be something that you have that makes them be willing to be around you.
Yes, and thank you.
But the thing is, here's the beauty of energy. If I ask you to tap into the energy of a sunrise, for example, and I got to say, energy is a little too small a word in something
right?
like a sunrise,
I know.
Right? But it's small because of how people have defined it or tried to define it. Because once again, they have it in this esoteric world that they're not a part of. But you got to realize it's actually energy that runs your body. And, you know, scientists tell us that there's enough energy in the mitochondria to run your body for 500 years without you ever eating another bite of food. Where does that energy come from, right? You know, but that is, but if you look at it, does the sun eat? Well, does the earth eat? No, but they have these processes that create, but that's only one linear form of energy. But right now, if you were to just allow yourself to expand out and perceive the energy that is the earth, the being that the earth is, if you will, if you can be willing to call it that, it's like you get a shift. And one of the things, you know, where I was talking about before, there's so many subtleties and gradations of energy as to be truly infinite. And,
wow.
You know, and one of the examples I use is that thing where you're just having such a, you know, you wake up in such a phenomenal mood and you're like ready to go and take on the world. And you're like, yes, and that's one energy. And then there's a totally different energy present when you wake up and want to hit the snooze alarm 27 times. You're the same person. They're just two totally different energies. And so those are like big blocks of things you can describe as energy, but it truly is so many gradations as to be infinite. So, like, for example, perceive the energy just roughly, generally, of your mother. Not just you. I'm talking to everybody, okay? I don't want to torture you. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Now perceive the energy of your father. Okay. Now perceive the energy of you when you were a kid before you decided you had to grow up and before everybody told you you did. Okay, now perceive the energy that you would like to be and have as your future. Any point in the future. Well, so when I do that, once again, that can, for some people, seem to go into the airy-fairy realm. But the number of times where I've done that with somebody, and so what you get with mother, you get one energy, you get dad another energy, and then you get the you that was this thing that was this amazing bundle of energy for most kids before they try to figure everything out and get right and whatever. And then you realize how you sort of adopted mom, you adopted dad, and you stopped becoming that bundle of joy that you were. And so here you are, you perceive your energy now. But then when you look at what is the energy I would like to create as my future, totally changes the game, because now it's not about I will have a house with 12 bedrooms and I will have a Lamborghini. Because we think, see, the thing is, all these things that we've been striving for, we think are going to create a particular energy in our lives. So, for example, it's like you look at certain people who are like, oh, I must have the trophy wife or trophy husband. I must, and, you know, and you, if you dissect that energetically, what are they looking for? Well, they're looking to be on top. They're looking for to have other people see them as valuable. They're looking for whatever, blah, blah, blah. But if you look at the energy behind that, you start sensing the energy and like, oh, now, so it starts to give us an insight, not into everything, basically. If you'll allow yourself to just be there for a moment, like if you have a business or a relationship and you go, okay, so what's the energy of that right now? And the funny part is it's just there. But we've never asked. It's the weirdest thing to me, because all these things are there, but we've been taught not to ask, which is one of the reasons I'm so grateful for Access Consciousness. Because it's about asking questions to get more awareness of what's actually going on, so you're not lying to yourself anymore.
Well, a couple of things is, I love how you moved so quickly through the conversation of perceive your mother, perceive your father, perceive yourself as a child. Because the thing is, energy is fast.
Yeah.
Thinking, figuring out, analyzing is extremely slow.
Yeah.
So that's one key. We know we're following the energy or we're accessing the energy. We know the energy when we're willing to let it show up faster than the speed of thought.
Yes.
And how much do thoughts take us away from accessing, perceiving the energy?
Yeah.
And then that thing about asking the question to look at the energy behind things, like the person with the trophy wife or the trophy husband, and what are they actually going for? They want to be on top. They want to have, they want to be judged rightly, yeah. so on and so forth. And you said people don't ask, and people, you know, if we ask, we can see. And I had this incredible, like when you said that, I really looked at like all the places I have not necessarily wanted to be aware of yeah. what's behind everything, you know, because when you start looking at that, you start seeing a lot of stuff that isn't necessary.
It's the answer you're looking for.
Ah! Yeah. And so, and I think that that's also analogous to when we start really doing big wave surfing or start really dealing with the big energies in the universe, there will be moments of, oh my God, this is going to kill me. Or if I face yeah. this, I'm like, is this going to destroy me? Is this wave going to destroy me? Is this awareness of whatever universe you're perceiving going to destroy you?
Yeah. And I think the thing to say about that is, has it ever actually destroyed you? Because that is, you know.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you and I have had enough experience and practice of dealing with energy to see that we've been able to come through anything.
Yep.
Even if it felt like we were dying at the time.
Yep.
And I guess I want to just maybe throw in a little bit of the deep end. If you want to fully choose consciousness, which includes everything and judges nothing, you know, how much energy or awareness are you eliminating through your judgments?
And well, can I say it just because I know what you mean?
Yeah.
But, so if you're somebody who truly desires to choose consciousness, which is where everything exists and nothing is judged, that's the first part. And then the second part of that is to look at or just get the energy in the sense of how much awareness are you destroying with your judgments? How much energetic reach are you destroying with your judgments? How much capacity to energetically change the world around you and to walk, if we go on the deep end, to walk around the world like a wizard where everything, like, you know, when the wizards swirl the energy around them or they get this bubble around them and everything changes, like that is my sense of how we could be.
And I love that. And I want to be the voice for the people out there hearing this who are like, that sounds like a good idea. And I never truly believe that's going to be possible for me, or there's so many reasons why I can't.
Yes. And if, you know, it's like a brilliant man once said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Okay. And that's why we have access consciousness. I didn't believe it. I didn't know. I knew it should be possible because I knew it should be possible from the time I was a little kid. And I was trying to work on my grandmother when her stomach was hurt, and I got a book on, they call it pointed pressure therapy. And here I was like 11 years old. Yeah. Oh, totally. And I'm reading the book and it was acupressure on the feet, right? Or
right.
whatever, reflexology,
mm-hmm.
which was not a word at the time, by the way. And so I got this book and I was rubbing on the stomach point and doing whatever points that I felt, you know, that I could. And I was just doing it like a little kid would. I was totally just following the energy, basically. And my grandma's like, oh, sweetie, that feels so much better. Now, my grandma would lie to me to make me feel better, but in this case, she wasn't. Okay? And I knew, you know, I knew from that point, I knew there was something different possible. So when we talk about that, you know, when I said whether you believe you can or believe you can't, or think you can or think you can't, you're right. Thank goodness we have this thing called access consciousness, so you can change all the places you think you can't. But not only that, expand universes beyond what you thought was possible
yeah.
into what you actually know is possible.
Yeah.
Because that thinking thing, you know, there's a reason in access we say your mind is a dangerous thing. Waste it. Because it really is. Because what you know is possible is so much greater than what you can think. But a lot of people have had their knowing invalidated so much of their life, they don't even want to know that they know anymore.
Cool. Yeah.
And you'll bring to them possibilities or you'll talk to them about energy
yes.
and they go, fuck you.
Right.
You know, it's a self-preservation mechanism more than anything else. But if any of you out there are desiring more of this, just ask, hey, universe, consciousness, whatever's out there that will contribute, anything that's conscious that will contribute, please let me have more of this. And one of the other great questions I love to ask on a daily basis is, universe, show me something beautiful. And I have not had this. And I got to say, I would love to say, you know, I've been doing Access 18 years. As you know, we both go around the world. We facilitate. We're in a lot of stages around the world in different places, right? And so a lot of times people look at us and go, well, they must just have perfect lives. I must just be happy all the time.
Do I think that? I'm not sure what people are thinking.
Well, let me tell you, a lot of people have told me, and I'll tell them about something I was going through in class that I came through, and they'll come up afterwards and go, thank you so much for sharing that. somehow I just thought you were perfect because you've been doing this and whatever, and you're up stage. Because a lot of people put that out, you know, they put out that they're perfect, so you'll buy their stuff. Mm. And so my whole point of saying that was that we're not perfect. We are continuously growing, continuously changing, continuously expanding. And there are some times where we are so friggin' frustrated, we don't know what to do. And it's usually those times where most of the time I remember to ask the question, universe, show me something beautiful every single day. And I got to say, though, the times when I most doubt that it can actually exist, where I'm just so friggin' convinced that everything is wrong and it always will be. You know, we're like little dogs. You know when the owner goes into the store and they leave the dog out in front of the store? The dog's frame of reference is, my owner is gone forever, you know? And so when we get into a crappy place, we tend to think that. Mm. It's going to be here forever. I'm never getting out. I'm never going to be happy. What was I doing thinking I could be happy? Anyway, we don't do that very often anymore. But when we do, I'll ask, universe, show me something beautiful. And I got to say, 99.999% of the – okay, let's say every time. By the end of the day, there is something that has been presented to me that just kind of melts my heart, breaks it open, and I'm like a happy puppy again.
Yeah.
Because the universe wants to contribute. We just never ask.
And that's what my inspiration is. And what really excites me and turns me on is the recognition that the universe actually wants to contribute. We have this magical element that's possible, that's there for all of us, that so, unfortunately, so few recognize, less receive, and
even fewer choose to be.
Even fewer choose. And so if you're out there and you're listening to this, it's like, I know that some of those conversation might have sounded like a walk on the moon. And maybe it spoke to exactly what you've always known and something that you needed to hear. And I even wager to bet that there might be some, if you're feeling a little dizzy or lightheaded, I wonder if you're accessing more energy.
Uh-huh. Oh, and by the way, remember this, your mind is a dangerous thing. Waste it. So what'll happen is you'll hear this conversation and some part of you, remember, what's true for you makes you lighter. A lie makes you heavier. So some part of you hearing this may lighten up and go, yes, I knew I wasn't the only one, or something. It probably isn't even cognitive. There's just something changing or shifting, hopefully to more lightness. And then what happens is your mind goes, nah, we've tried all that stuff, or nah, it's not true for you. And please know, Shannon and I don't have a point of view.
No, and this is the thing is, it's like, we don't have a point of view, but this is what our lives are.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
This is what we're looking at every day, what we're working on. You and I and a handful of others are some of the most prolific facilitators of access. It's like, we're really out there on the front line, getting out there, speaking up, and you particularly, making the tools, the amazing tools of access consciousness that both of us love so deeply from the bottom of our hearts, mm-hmm. not because they're right, but because they save both of our lives and continue to show us the magical world every day.
Yes. And not because they're right. In fact, specifically because they're not, and they never try to be.
They never try to be, and they just work.
Yep.
And so this conversation on energy is, I think, a very basic but also a very advanced conversation. Mm-hmm. It's where you begin, and it's ultimately what's available in terms of possibility, choice, and change that you don't have to analyze, think yourself to death to access. But what if you could relax, access, choose whatever you need to do to get into the energy?
Yeah. And also trust. And this is so big. And, you know, let's face it, almost every person we've ever tried to trust in our lives has probably let us down in one way or another. And of course, we have this standard of perfection that we've learned that really probably isn't ours either. But trusting that the universe actually has our back, trusting that the consciousness that makes up this world has our back, trusting that there are these elements that actually do desire to contribute to us, and there are actually certain people that actually will have our back and desire to contribute to us. But this also, once again, is where it's so essential to perceive the energetics, because if we're not aware of energy, we'll think, oh, this person has my back because they say the right things. And yet somewhere we know they don't.
And so energy never lies.
Exactly.
Your head usually does.
Always does, yeah.
You know.
Unless it's your awareness, yeah.
Energy never lies. So yep. if we learn to follow the energy.
Becomes a magical possibility. And when I talk about magical possibility, I'm not talking airy fairy.
No, I mean, and that's, yeah, that's
so,
I kind of
am.
You know, I guess, you know? It's interesting.
I want to have all of it. Like, I want to be able to walk around this world and enjoy, like, wonderful food and enjoy the sun and enjoy the beach and enjoy the earth and enjoy my car that goes really, really fast and enjoy my horses that go really, really fast and enjoy traveling in nice accommodations and enjoy staying in nice places and enjoy the fact that I could stay anywhere and I'll still be okay. And at the same time, have this magical sense of the world. Because we have this idea that if you enjoy the finer things of life, quote unquote, and that's its own pile of poo that people have as their points of view. But if you enjoy the nice things that exist here, then you're not energetic. You're not spiritual. Well, you may not be spiritual, but you can still be conscious because consciousness includes everything. And to have, while I'm traveling in business class or first class or whatever it is, to have this sense of the magic of it. It amazes me because at this point with, you know, traveling 3.5 weeks out of the month, I usually travel business class or first class, right? And because, well, I could give a reason and justification. Let's just say it's a lot more fun.
Because
and I can.
Because how does it get better than this?
Exactly, right? And I hesitate to say that because I know a long time ago I would hear somebody saying I travel first class and business class and go, oh, what an arrogant asshole, you know, and I would separate from what they were saying. But what I want to say is It's like, for me though, when I'm there, it's like, I talk to the stewardesses and I talk to the pilot, whatever. And I'm like, hi, how you doing? And they always look at me like, what are you doing in business class? What are you doing in first class? I'm like, I'm having a great time. What about you? You know? And they always start smiling and lightening up. And it's so interesting to me that some of the people on the planet that actually have the money, so many of the people that have the money to travel business class or first class or stay in a really nice hotel or something like that are complete dicks.
And grumpy buttheads.
Grumpy buttheads who have no gratitude. They have no sense of the magic.
Well, I hate to say it. It's not just the people traveling business class and
first
class.
Very
it's
true.
Even the people back in economy.
That is very true. But it always, when I first started traveling business class, I was so surprised because I thought if people had enough resources, I would, because for me, when I was traveling business class, I was so grateful. I was like, oh my God. This is awesome. This is wonderful. And I was so excited. And the people next to me wouldn't even look at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, it created this weird disconnect in my head because I'm like a big six-year-old. I'm like, hi, how you doing? Want to play? Want to have fun? Let's have more fun. Let's have more possibilities. Which is really funny that I sound like that, given that I'm the co-creator of a worldwide business.
Well, this is not this. That's the thing. It's like these conversations are not this reality. And all the definitions that we have of what it should look like.
Yeah.
It never,
let's give that shit up.
One of the things you coined is it never looks like what you think it's going to.
Yes. Ever. Truly never, ever, ever shows up the way you think it's going to. And this is where we get to this thing about ask and you shall receive. It's actually something, it's one of the truths. But my point of view is it's something that's actually true, but they put it in the Bible so nobody would believe it. I've been thinking on this.
They
one.
Were very tricky.
Whoever they were
really
knew what they were doing.
Sneaky.
But it really is true. It's like if you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? I'd like some more magic. Or, you know, I'd like to have what they're talking about. Ask. Just go, hey, whatever it looks like, whatever it takes, I will have this. Dear universe, dear consciousness, please contribute. But also I'm willing to change anything that needs to be changed for this to happen. I'm willing to receive anything I need to receive. I'm willing to be anything I need to be. And I'm willing to gain or lose anyone or anything.
So can we pull apart and tease apart that profound 18-part masterpiece? You know, Dane's like sprinting through these profound universes. Come on, guys. So if you ask, dear universe, you know, and I love that because it's like, this is what I love about that conversation, dear universe. Okay. So it's like, how many millennia have people been praying to something outside of them that will hopefully bestow some gift that they themselves do not possess?
Yes.
And as soon as we start going outside of ourselves or looking that you don't, if you're coming from the point of view that you don't have, or it's not you that creates or chooses, do we then lose connection or access to the energetics?
Dynamically, yes. And I also have to say, when I say dear universe, we're part of the universe.
And
a lot of people
wanted,
forget that part.
And
too.
That's what I wanted to really go into, because that right there, you taught me how to ask the energetics. Not my mind, not my fantasy, not my judgment, not my, I need this, I want this, I should have this, please, baby Jesus, make me have this, even though I don't believe it's possible, you know, which is what, you know, let's face it, that's what goes on in a lot of people's universes, myself included. And it was through Choosing More Consciousness, doing Access, and a lot of your classes that I was able to go, okay, so I think I'd like to have this, whatever that is, right? It's a little bit, choice creates awareness. So I think right. I'd like to have $1 million, let's say. Uh-huh. Let's just say that, just for fun. I think I'd like to have $1 million. For many years, that was a beyond my reality. That was an idea, not a reality. That was And then I started looking at the energy of, oh, well, what would actually that be like to have that in life? Would my life still be the same today if I had $1 million? No, that money would change me. It would change the universe. It would require something different of me.
Yes.
And then once I was able to connect to, oh, there's the reality of having $1 million, or there's, excuse me, the energy.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's exactly the energetics of it.
Then I could ask, speak to those molecules and actualize.
Yeah.
And for those of you guys that don't know, Dane and I have both spent long time in the gutter of no money, you know, just for fun, just to see what that was like, you know,
because otherwise,
gotta try out being poor to really, you know.
Oh, let me tell you. I mean, literally, I was so poor when I was growing up. We lived in a house, my mom and I lived with this people in the ghetto. And I mean, I was not only highly abused there sexually and physically in other ways, but we were so poor when our toilet broke. We literally could not afford to get it fixed for a month. And so we did our business in a bucket and then emptied it out in the backyard.
Back to the 1800s.
I know, exactly. I'm like, privy, toilet pot, whatever that thing is called, you know, whatever. Chamber pot.
You're like, dear universe, I am never going back there. Thank you very much.
I'm like, dear universe, I wanted to be here when there was electricity and cool shit. What like, is going on
with
you?
Dear universe, there's outdoor plumbing. Could we please have that now?
Exactly.
Dear mom, could you please get your shit together?
That was the other conversation.
So I don't have this shit in the backyard anymore.
And that was pretty much my point of view too. You know, and even with, and so when you talk about the gutter of no money, I just wanted to let people know, like, we're not kidding here, okay? This is an actuality we're talking about.
And what I'm going to go ahead and just like, Dane and I have both built up multi-million dollar businesses on the back of empowering others to know that they know, to facilitating the work and the tools and the energy of Access Consciousness and being willing to be judged as freaks, you know, to be crucified as whatever the heck, you know, and now these days we're like, please crucify me by all means.
Exactly.
Your judgment has no power.
Oh, but we have to tell you this. We found this many, many, many years ago. And one of the things we found in Access is that whenever you're willing to receive a judgment, you make $5,000 more that year.
Which I still to this day wonder if that's one of Gary Douglas's genius tricks.
Uh-huh.
But it works!
But it actually is not only... See, it's not only a genius trick. It actually matches the energy.
It matches the energy. And to recognize how many of us shut down or receiving or get all twisted when we perceive judgment.
Yeah, but let's talk about what receiving judgment actually is. Receiving judgment is somebody, let's say you judge me, you're an asshole. And I go, okay, thanks. No walls, no barriers. I don't fight against it. I don't try to prove that you're wrong and I'm right and I'm not an asshole. I go, wow, thank you. Interesting point of view. Thank you for your point of view. And I have no walls and barriers. You let the energy go on through. So the other side of that is for every judgment you refuse to receive, you lose 10,000. Now, let's look at this energetically for a moment, since that's, you know, our conversation du jour, as it were. So somebody goes, oh, you're an asshole. Well, if you're trying to keep that out and resist it, what you have to do is you have to put up these energetic brick walls all around you. But the thing is, the brick walls are not intelligent. They're made out of brick or concrete or something really solid, right?
No, it doesn't work when it's heavy.
And so, and you can't breathe because you feel constricted. You know, you're in prison now by the walls you put around you. But what happens is the brick and the concrete don't know, let in money, let in joy, let in ease.
Oh, I need to go back to that. The
they
brick and the concrete
keep
don't
everything out.
They don't know to let in money. They don't know to let in energy.
Right. So you're
they
letting.
They serve one purpose, to keep stuff out.
Yes.
And so now you've foregone all energy, all possibility to defend against, to barrier against, to fortify against judgment.
Yes. Which, and if you look at it, though, judgment is such a, I mean, if we look in the world of energy, and
yes, back to, I love this, yes.
And this, here we go, you know. But if we look at the world of energy, it's like, if you look at the energy judgment has, it is such a tiny, 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 puny energy. But we have made it like this big monster, you know, like the big old flashlight behind the mouse that looks like a lion or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, truly, we act like it has all the energy in the world, but it fucking doesn't. It just doesn't. If we don't give it any energy, we don't give, and, you know, and then of course, how? Well, that's why we have access consciousness and all these tools that start from day one.
Absolutely.
But if we don't give it any energy, it doesn't have any. The only energy judgment has is the energy that we give it, the energy we imbue it with. Now, somebody can force it out, you know, when somebody gets angry at you and yells at you and whatever.
We've all,
but if you stand there and lower your walls and barriers and pull energy and just kind of smile on the inside and go, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view. They will run out of steam within seconds. If you resist and react, you're now giving them the energy they were looking for by them attacking you in the first place, whether it's with judgment or verbalism or whatever. If you resist and react, what happens is now you have just created the solidity that sticks it in place. If you don't, they have nowhere to go.
Right. So your choice can create it as only a passing breeze or a reality.
Yep. Exactly.
And it's the, I love that. It's like judgment only has the energy that you give it, which just goes to show us how much energy and power we actually have.
Exactly.
And are we putting our power and our energy into things that are generative, or do we put our, are we putting, or are you putting your power and your energy into things that are destructive?
Yeah. And that, that, the beauty of that is that's our choice. And I also have to say, you know, when we talk about not giving it power, not giving it energy, that also can sound airy fairy. To certain people's worlds, we're like, well, yeah, but it has energy.
Well, something that I would...
Yeah, but you have a choice that's greater than giving that
okay,
the power.
Okay, so that choice that's greater, because as you were talking about when someone's judging you and you push down your barriers and you say, you said, this is just an interesting point of view or...
interesting point of view. I have this
interesting point of view. What becomes available and what we can gain access to through that choice to receive judgment without making it real true, without defending ourselves against it, is... from my interesting point of view, the treasure, the abundance, that ever-giving source that the universe is, that so few can access, that is available for anybody's choosing at any given moment if they'll have it.
Yeah. And you said so few can access. I would say that so few are willing to or have been given the tools to.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I said that. Yes. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, right after you said the exact opposite, I was just all clarifying up in that, you know, because it's easy to hear when somebody else does that. When you do it yourself, you're like, okay. So, but I just wanted to say that because it's like, it's really that we haven't been given the tools. And more than anything else, we have not been willing to be different. We have not been willing to be as different as we are. And
let's face it, if we're going to be functioning from the energy...
Yeah.
How different does that make us?
Yeah.
Well, how different does that make us than other people? It makes us the same. It's all of the animals, all of nature are functioning from energy.
Yep.
It's only the people that aren't.
Yep. Like, do you think a wave ever is about to break and goes, oh my God, no, I'm having like a bad wave day.
Yeah,
today.
Totally.
I'm so not going to do this today. I'm just not. No, you can't make me. You know what I mean? Like a bird doesn't wake up and go, I'm just having such a bad feather day. I just can't sleep today. No worms for me. No singing. Just silence.
And if you saw that in nature, how insane would that be?
Yeah, truly.
Yet we see it in our own behavior.
Continuously. You know, people are the only crazy things on the planet. You know, everything else actually follows the energy. But so if we start to recognize that part of what we've been missing is the willingness to be that different.
Mm.
And we keep trying to fit in and we keep trying to get it right, you know, like the trophy wife person, whatever, but that's an extreme example of it. But all of us, it's like, we want people to like us. We like, a lot of us really care about people and we want them to feel better. And when we do stuff that seems beyond their reality, then they go into judgment and we feel like it's our fault. But what if you doing that, which made other people go, whoa, that's weird. What if that was the only thing that ever inspired them to a greater possibility? You know, what if you are actually the inspiration the world requires? And but from a really practical place, like, you know, it's talking about being in first class and, you know, talking to all the stewardesses and the people, and you can feel them change.
Oh, you're amazing, you know? At that. It's something I've watched you do that. And it's I've watched you bring out the light in so many people. People in your classes, but then just stewardesses, just people walking down the street. They interact with you and they become a happier version of themselves. I've watched you do it time and time and time and time again. I've thought so many times, like, oh, I should do that more. I should try and be more like that. Because I have to face it, when I'm out in public, I'm not really talking to people. I keep very much to myself.
Right.
You are so gregarious. And fact of the matter is, we're different.
Yeah. And appropriately so. And thank you for that acknowledgement. I was like, wow. Like, you ever have somebody say something to you, especially, you know, in a live recorded program? And you're like, whoa, like, if we weren't, I would just, you know, thank you. But for me, it's like, the only thing I've ever really wanted is, I know there's lots of stuff I would like and a lot of change in the world, but the biggest thing is to be happy and see other people happy. It truly is, like, you know, when you're a little kid and you're asked, what do you want to be? I literally said happy. And they were like, well, no, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, happy. Yeah, but do you want to be this? You want to be that? I'm like, yes, as long as I'm happy. But the other part with that was I always wanted to see the people. I always want to see everybody happy, you know, and that's still to this day. And now it's gone more from just happy, because that can be a very transitory state for a lot of people because they have a lot of conditions on what creates happiness. To actually able to create happiness and joy in their lives.
I love that.
And that is just...
Oh, I love that.
Fucking so much fun.
Right? So no matter if the sun is shining, no matter if the storm is raging, no matter if you have to go out into the backyard to do your business because it's you're back in the 1850s.
Exactly.
You know, you have the tools, the wherewithal, the know-how to create happiness.
Yeah. And actually to recognize that it's not about the situations or the conditions, and to realize that it truly is a choice that we have. But in this one thing, which sounds so strange probably to a lot of people, but this one thing, the willingness to be happy, is one of the most challenging choices you will ever make, because it is one of the most different things that you can choose in this world right now.
Unless you're a dolphin.
Unless you're a dolphin. Exactly. And then easy peasy, little squeezy.
And then it's a whole different ballpark.
Oh boy.
You get to be happy, but you don't get to eat ice cream.
Exactly. Now, but think about this for a moment. How smart are dolphins, right? It takes them about one day to train a bunch of stupid humans to stand on the edge of the pool and feed them fish. You see what I'm saying? I mean, these guys are smart. They, you know, we act like, you know. But so also with all this, I don't want to sound preachy. It's like, there's just something so, that we have the ability to choose, all of us.
And that's, yeah. And that's, it's sort of like, I was having, you know, it's this interesting thing of like, I know I can and so I will. And yeah. So what choice do you have available to you that you need to be scare the shit out of yourself and go ahead and make?
Exactly.
You know?
I love your way of putting things, because that is exactly it. Scare the shit out of yourself and go ahead and make it.
And follow the energy.
And also, though, the way to know sort of if you're having a challenge between two choices, you go, okay, first of all, you go, all the fixed points of view I have about this choice and what it's going to create and what doing it or not doing it creates, just buck and pot all that. Or destroy it and create it, or let it go, however you do it. In other words, get rid of the fixed points of view first, and then go, okay, so if I choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? And get the energy, just the sense of it. It doesn't have to be a big deal. And remember, you're going to get it instantaneously, like Shannon talked about. And then if I don't choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? And get the energy of that. Go for whichever one is lighter and greater. It starts to make choice really friggin' simple. But in order to choose according to that, you have to actually trust you and actually trust that you know. and actually allow the universe and consciousness to finally support you.
I love
that. I think
that.
It's time.
I love that. I love that. So wherever you are in the world, whenever you're listening to this, please know we are here. Dane is literally Dane here.
I am so here.
I want to tell a funny story about your name. I'm really dyslexic. That's not the funny part.
Here's my funny story. I'm dyslexic. And I have really bad timing on jokes.
So I'm really dyslexic. That's not the funny part. And if you can misspell a word, I will. And so, and when we met, I was writing your name down, and it might have been writing it down for my dad or trying to Google to find you. Anyways, and I spelled your name correctly. I spelled your last name correctly.
Wow.
And I spelled your first name correctly because I actually literally remember thinking, is it D-A-N-E or is it D-A-I-N? Because as a dyslexic person, it can be a million spellings.
Exactly.
And I spelled your name correctly, and I went, and that actually struck me. Because that is very unusual that I spell. I mean, even names I've spelt written a million times, I'll still botch up. Hello, dyslexics. I'll have a whole podcast. Surviving Learning Disorders 101. Surviving Learning Disorders, Easter egg glory. And so wherever you are, we're here.
Yes, we truly are here. And we have a lot of resources available that are online. And so many of them are available for free. And whatever, it's like, don't make money the issue, please. Just
so what would you
find this?
What and I'll chat to Dane after this, and I'll find out what his favorite free resources are. So cool. And I'll put a link for you guys on under the player for this in the show notes, so that
awesome.
If you guys want to find out more from Dane, if you want to dive into the tools of access, like, please be our guest.
Yes, exactly.
Please be our guest, and we hope to meet you out in the wild world and to see you surfing on the waves of energy.
Yes, and creating, you know what, and just having a good fucking time with your life.
Whatever you do, just have a good time.
Whatever it is, just friggin' enjoy it. You know, life is really wonderful. Yeah. Can be really wonderful. Just friggin' enjoy it.
Even if you're being dramatic and having to go to the outhouse in the backyard.
Exactly.
You would enjoy that.
And I just want you to know, just as a reminder, Shannon and I have never been dramatic.
Yeah,
ever.
I've never been dramatic.
And
I've
we've never
really been,
suffered
yeah.
and held it
yeah.
over other people's heads or
yeah.
anything
I've never
like
been
that.
Extreme about anything.
No,
I've
me
like,
neither.
You know, so just know that we're perfect and,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that's...
Finally.
That's,
finally, it's been stated out
finally,
loud.
Finally. And so whatever it is, we've been there, done there, been there, done that, whatever mm-hmm. the judgment is, it's like, we know that too. This can be horrible and this can be fun.
Uh-huh. Your choice, babe.
So we'll see you out there, guys.
Thanks for listening, y'all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.